Just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
News Radio 840 WHAS. Good Sunday morning. Bob Sekulow, the Louisville Real Estate Show with you until the top of the hour. Hope everything is going well on this. It's early, but it's a Sunday morning. Joining us on the show today, Chuck Crosby. He is the head guy over at the Crosby Law Office. He does a variety of things. You know, you can pick the closing attorney that you want, and Chuck is the great guy, does a great job at closings, but he also does wills and powers of attorney and foreclosure defense, and the list goes on. You can reach Chuck directly anytime on his cell phone or his office phone, 499-6360. That's 499-6360. Also here, Randy Rocky. He is with Swan Financial, co-owner there. They do a fabulous job of getting you pre-approved for a loan and to the closing table. He's doing one loan for me right now. You can reach, I highly recommend him, 6450736 for Randy Rocky. My son Greg, who does our photography and our marketing and more, is actually in the car en route to one of our listings that he's going to shoot shortly. So he'll be joining. He's joining us now. And then if you're thinking about selling your home this year, next year, the years beyond, whenever it might be, I'd love to help you. You just simply call me for free, no obligation analysis. I'll come out. We'll talk about what the process is, how to get it done, what the costs are, what the price of your home is, which is really the key that you want to know. And I do that in a computer in front of me. And you can reach me anytime on my cell phone. 376-5483 is my direct phone number to call, or go to BobSellsLouisville.com. That's BobSellsLouisville.com or 376-5483. In the news this week, the Fed staying where they are in terms of short-term interest rates. Randy, how is that going to move to long-term interest rates?
Well, you don't know. It's just been a crazy market on predicting interest rates. So I know that's a terrible answer, but it's the
truth.
Don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, and so give you an NMLS number out, and then what's the rate going on right now?
Where NMLS 26362. Yeah. And we got a 5.25 APR, 6.49 right now, 5.25 rate. And we're doing a lot of them. Yeah. So very excited about it.
And so am I. The other thing that's in the news are buyer contingencies. So, folks, let me recap this. Chuck, I want your opinion. Greg, jump in on this, folks, and also Randy. A contingency for a buyer purchase, if you have a house to sell. Let us just say that Chuck has a house to sell. He's going to buy a house that maybe I own, but he has to sell his first in order to get financing and buy the house that I own. So he'll write a contingency, or his agent will, that says that Chuck is putting a deposit down and he wants to move forward and he will have a first right of refusal to buy my home. So that allows the contract to go through, but it could still come back to bite Chuck, because if Randy comes over and says, oh, I want to buy that house, he puts in an offer that is non-contingent and could be financing, could be cash, but non-contingent on the sale of Randy's home, then he could bump Chuck out of the picture and now Randy is my primary buyer. Okay. That's the premise. Here's the switch. What I'm seeing now is there are a lot of people who want to buy a home and sell their existing one, but they don't want to sell until they're able to find and get the house that they want and put up contract on it. You can use a contingent for, but as I've just told you, you can be bumped out of there. So the new twist is a contingency that doesn't allow a first right of refusal. So, Chuck, this happened several times this week to me alone, where we've got a buyer coming in with their agent. There is absolutely no first right of refusal for X amount of days, which means it locks up the house until X amount of days. So maybe it might be 10, 20, 25 days until the buyer of, let's say, my house feels that they are able to get a contract on it. This is a new twist. No first right of refusal. It's all buyer heavy and very little advantageous advantage to the seller side. Thoughts on this, guys?
Haven't seen it yet. I can't wait.
It's coming. Greg, your thoughts?
I mean, we see everything. This is why it's important to have an agent on both sides to help you navigate these waters, because it can get tricky to win bids, especially with people wanting to move, being desperate. And we ourselves have seen people, I was talking about this earlier, make me move prices because they want to move. They can't find somewhere, but they'll take more money to try to relocate for temporary housing. So there's all sorts of ways and things that are coming down the pipeline as inventories continue to stay low and people see rates, even though the Fed's holding, they're getting more used to the rates. So they're saying, hey, we wanted to move. We might as well move. And there, people are going to figure out ways to make that happen.
So here's my take on another reason contingencies are coming back. A lot of people are sitting on 60, 70% equity on their house. But they have worth $1.5 trillion in credit card debt right now, and they have recreational vehicles and all that. So when they sell their house, they could put 20% down on the other house, the new house, even though they're at a 3% rate, and they have to go to a 5.25 or whatever rate. And they're so, but the time we do all the overall payment for them, they end up coming out better. And that is part of why some people are moving now, because they really do have a lot of equity and a lot of debt.
Interesting concept there. All right, so we'll keep you in the loop on this thing, but this is something that we're just seeing, and if you're an agent in town, you want to get more information, or a buyer or seller, you feel free to call me at 376-5483. If you want to see a replay of this show or actually watch it, yes, indeed, you can go to LouisvilleAnswers.com. It's a redirect to our YouTube channel where you'll see this show in its entirety. That's LouisvilleAnswers.com. Chuck Crosby, Crosby Law Office. Here's a topic we've talked about in the past. It started occurring again. Again, this is happening to me, so I have to presume it's happening to other agents in town. On one of my listings this week, and we're selling a lot of listings, I got a love letter. So you want to tell you what, Greg, describe what a love letter is in two sentences, and then we'll go to Chuck to see what his thoughts are.
Yeah, it's a lot with two sentences. It's a letter that you send to the seller in hopes that you can appeal to them in some way, shape, or form, and that they will love you. Or you can talk about how much you love their house and it fits you. But in one way, shape, or form, it's to try to appeal to the seller to pick you.
Right. That's a love letter. Chuck, the general consensus is maybe not the...
Yeah, there's a lot written about how you shouldn't ought to do that, that it'll lead to housing discrimination. Things like if I write, oh, I can see my kids having Christmas in this house, I've disclosed certain things that perhaps, you know, might cause the seller to say, no, I don't want to sell to you. Is it illegal? No, I don't think so. You can certainly tell anybody you love their house. Is it advisable? Well, that's for people better than me to say, I suppose.
Well, everyone's going to have a different opinion. And yeah. I got to tell you, we're charged as agents to do the very best job that we can for our clients, whether it's a buyer or a seller. I think most of my compadres in this market and around the country would say, yep, that's right. So, yes, you could say that there could be a problem, at least indicating, giving some sort of insight information. But I personally think that it could go either way. And if you really want to get detailed on this, folks, you as a seller can look at the name on a contract and be able to determine to some level what the ethnicity is. So what are we actually saying here? I mean, I think, quite frankly, in the case that I received the love letter, my seller loved that love letter and went with that offer.
Yeah. I have a hard time automatically assuming that sharing details about yourself is going to cause the other person to be discriminatory.
I agree.
I mean,
I agree, Chuck. I hope we're past that mostly. Yes.
Well, we can say that as white males. Now, can other ethnicities say that? Maybe they feel differently about that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We have to understand their point of view, too. So,
yeah, right. But here we're talking about not the people that would be discriminated against. Okay, we're talking about the people who would do the discriminating. So the love letter is, I mean, if you feel that they might, well, why write the love letter?
I guess the case would be if you get multiple love letters and you start attaching pictures and then you get selective based off of that. But again,
you're presuming the seller is going to act in a certain way. So it's not the victim that this is protecting necessarily. It's preventing the perpetrator.
You're right. It's leveling the playing field in the minds who say that you shouldn't do a love letter because it might discriminate against those who don't want to because they may not have the same circumstances that someone who might. We get it. But at this point, unless I am told it's illegal to do that, I act on behalf of my buyer or seller to do the very best job, and a love letter works for the buyer, and it's also of some interest to the seller. So we move forward. Want to see what people are saying about us? Video. You can go to LouisvilleSellersTalk.com. LouisvilleSellersTalk.com. Okay, we go back over to Randy Rocky at Swan Financial. This question is a shocker, Mr. Rocky. Aubrey writes this email. What terms should I not tell my lender when applying for a mortgage? What terms should I not tell my lender? I've never heard this one before, but I'm going to give you the concept that this is written in by Aubrey, and you tell us one line why this is not a good idea. Don't tell your lender, I'm still trying to figure out where and when I'm going to get my down payment money.
You need to tell them.
But if you say, I don't know.
I know that. But we need to know, obviously, because we have no money down products. But we also need to know, hey, do you have a family member? Oh, I got a good friend. Well, sometimes a good friend, you can't use that as gift money. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that yes. So I hope I'm
so figure it out, right?
Yeah, we need to know.
We need to figure it out. Call me back when you know.
There's more. Do not, this is again, you don't tell your lender, do not tell my spouse what my credit score is.
Wow. I've never had that happen. Chuck, mm-hmm. I think privacy laws, I don't think we could tell them if they don't want us to,
yeah,
correct?
I don't think you can.
All right.
Yeah. And that is something, though, in closings, any document like that, because occasionally the lenders want the credit report initialed. It's like, I will make sure not to hand his to hers.
Have you had that happen?
Case. Yeah.
Have you had that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then they start looking and, you know, husbands and wives jokes. But once they're in each other's possession, that's up to them. I don't care. But I'm not giving his to her or hers to him.
All right. We keep going forward. What not to tell your lender? This one. I am shopping you with five other lenders. What's your rate? Do you want to know?
I have that happen. And, you know, it doesn't bother me because good luck to them. They're not going to beat me anyways. Most of the time.
Fair market.
Most of the time.
All right. This one, I think we're all going to agree. Don't ever say this. I can't wait to get the money back from the seller when he promised me after we close.
You can't do that. That's
cannot. Illegal. Yes. It's
it's only a felony.
Yeah. But yeah, you don't get any money back from the seller. Not the way you think. There's other ways if you're creative. Okay. And finally, I cannot believe how much work this home needs. Don't ever say that to a lender.
That's not a problem. In fact, we want to know that because what we have to do then is say, hey, let's let the appraiser decide if it meets Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidelines. So
yeah, I know we know you want to know that.
Yeah.
But you could be turned down for that house if you knew things.
But again, if a client is saying any of these things, first off, red flags.
Yeah.
Second off, figure out where your down payment's coming from. And if there are repairs that you know you're going to be needed and say you've got a VA loan, well, then you might want to get on top of that before you get to the closing date and things get hung up. So disclose, communicate.
Yeah. All right. We're taking a break. The show's going really quickly. If you want to see what buyers and sellers are reviewing us, our Sekolar team, go to LouisvilleZillow.com or LouisvilleGoogle.com. As we go to a break, we want to continue with Chuck Crosby, who is the head guy over at the Crosby Law Offices. You can reach him to schedule your closing or anything else that he does, including wills. You can reach him at 499-6360. Also, Randy Rocky, who is the co-owner of Swan Financial. You can reach Randy to get your loan pre-approved and get online and get ready to go to buy. 645-0736. My son Greg, who does our marketing photography, is here, and you can reach me if you're thinking about selling your home now or in the future. I'd love to come out and talk to you about how to get it done, what the cost of the home is when you put it on the market, what's it worth. I'll show you on my computer. We'll do it live. You can reach me at 376-5483 or 376-LIVE or BobSellsLouisville.com. Back in a moment on News Radio 840 WHAS.
I'm Chuck Crosby, a real estate attorney here in Louisville with Crosby Law Offices. I've been practicing real estate law, fixing problems, and helping people for over 22 years. So if you're a buyer looking for advice, information, or professional closing services, call me. If you're a property owner, real estate professional, you have a problem, you just can't fix it, call me. If you're a landlord and you're having problems with your tenants, call me. Again, I'm Chuck Crosby with Crosby Law Offices. You can reach me at 499-6360. 499-6360. 6360. This has been a paid advertisement.
Welcome to the future of home ownership with Swan Financial. Here's Randy Rocky.
Say farewell to the high mortgage rates with our game-changing solution, the Interest Rate Buster.
Listen to this.
We redefined the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, offering unprecedented rates between 5 and 6% APR. For the entire loan duration.
For more information on how to get that loan, call Randy Rocky at Swan Financial at 502-645-0736. That's 645-0736. NMLS 26362 and 2473.
Shopping for a home? The place to start is RE/MAX Properties East. Experienced, caring, top producing agents who service all of Louisville and surrounding areas. On your computer or on your smartphone, head to homesinlouisville.com and sign into one of the most advanced home search sites in the country. That's homesinlouisville.com. Residential or commercial real estate, let the award-winning agents at RE/MAX Properties East help. Take the first step in your house hunting journey. Visit homesinlouisville.com or call 425-6000 today.
In today's real estate market, you want someone you can trust in the driver's seat. In Louisville, that's Bob and Greg Sokolin.
Bob and son Greg have helped thousands of families just like yours turn challenges into solutions. They can give you a guaranteed sale of a custom marketing system to get your home sold on your timeline and for the most money, and they have an instant cash offer program.
You deserve the best there is. Bob and Greg, go to WeSellLouisville.com. You'll be glad you did.
News Radio 840 WHAS, Bob Sokolin, the Louisville Real Estate Show, continuing to the top of the hour. Thank you, Barbara Corcoran, who's a friend, a mentor, and Greg and I enjoyed taking her for a ride. Actually, we weren't driving, but we took her for a ride in a car, and it was a lot of fun when we did that. And you'll see the commercial coming up on the air in a couple of months here. Our continuing with, really, Chuck Crosby, the head guy over at the Crosby Law Offices at 499-6360. Also, Randy Rocky, head guy over at one of the head guys at Swan Financial, 6450736. My son Greg does marketing, photography, so much more. And of course, me, Bob Sokolin. You can reach me if you're thinking of selling your home anytime. We would love to help you. Free, no obligation analysis. I'll come out, we'll talk. 376-5483 or go to bobsellslouisville.com. Chuck Crosby at the Crosby Law Office. Elizabeth is buying a home this month and has been doing her research. In this email, she's asking us to explain the difference between what title, what is a title, and what is a deed. Mr.
Okay.
Crosby.
Yeah. Well, I frequently get people confusing those or conflating those terms. Uh-huh. When you say the title to the property, people envision that little blue slip that you have in your glove box, the title to your car. Doesn't quite work that way. Okay. A deed is the document that gives you ownership of the property. It puts you on title, but the title in the way we use it is all the owners of the property going back to Adam and Eve. Okay. So if you ask me to run a title, I go back and I research all the deeds. Okay. And then come forward and make sure there's no liens and encumbrances. Uh-huh. The deed itself is the conveying document. That's what says, hey, I own this property. Most people think it's going to be something like that, you know, the title to the car, you know, a blue piece of paper that, you know, you sign over to someone when you sell the car. It's similar, but it's not the same.
Okay. Moving over to Randy Rocky at Swan Financial, Melissa sent us an email asking for one of the ways to get the lowest interest rate when applying for a mortgage. That's a question a lot of our listeners probably have. How do you get the lowest interest rate?
I think if we can, we try to negotiate seller concessions. It helps a lot because then we can look at doing buy downs. Certain situations you can't, and you got to make sure there's not appraisal gap issues and all that. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do this is I really believe, and stats show that $9,400, you save $9,473 or something if you use a broker over a retail lender or a bank. And that's all factual information that I'm allowed to share. So on an average loan, you would want to use a broker like myself.
Good. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. By the way, this question was brought in, and I don't want to go through a whole lot of these answers, but Greg, Joshua is saying he's planning on selling his home in a couple of months, got a lot of junk, and he feels overwhelmed. Where does he start decluttering? What would you suggest to him? Give us one idea. Where would you start?
It depends on how bad. I mean, the more you can declutter, the better. there's a psychology that you want going into your home, that you maintain the home and that it's in good condition. And the more clutter and the more mess you have, the psychology plays that that's not the case. So you want to do your best to clean. If you need a junk removal company, you should start there. If you simply need to get a storage unit and move some things over, you can go there. If you list with us, we've got our truck. You can do things like that. But declutter as much as you can and just keep it clean.
Yeah.
Junk removal first. We've got people we can send you to, but yeah, depends on how messy.
And we do have a moving truck for our clients. It's a 14 footer automatic transmission. It's free. Just fill it up with gas if you want. And if you're looking for some places to help you remove the junk, call me. I'll give you some names, 376-5483. Also, I would tell you to start at one room at a time. Just tackle one room at a time. Start now. Don't wait until a week before you're thinking of buying a house, so you'll feel a lot better about it. Moving on over to Chuck Crosby at the Crosby Law Office. Josh just bought a home a week ago and was asked at the closing table if he wanted to buy title insurance. He thought, he says in this email, the bank required that he buy title insurance, and he's wondering what is he being asked to buy if he's already bought it.
Okay. There is owner's title insurance. There is lender's title insurance. Now, the price calculation is you take owner's title insurance, you add $200, and that's the total of owner's and lender's. The settlement statements with all the TRID regulations show it broken up differently. But that's the first concept to keep in mind. It's just going to cost a couple $100 more with both of them included. Now, the lender is going to require that you pick up title insurance to cover the loan amount. That title insurance decreases over time. So as you pay your loan down, the value of that title insurance goes down, so that at no point is equity ever covered. Mm. When you get an owner's policy on top of that, as the lender's policy gets paid down and equity is accrued, well, the owner's title insurance picks up that difference so that you're always protected. Just because the bank gets title insurance does not protect you. Mm-hmm. Got to get that owner's policy on top of it. But again, as I pointed out from the beginning, it's going to be the same price if you were paying cash and, got an owner's policy at that point.
And Chuck, what percentage of loans do you close that don't have owner's title?
I'd say it's really small. I'll subject them to a 20-minute discussion of all the evils that might occur.
Right.
And usually they say, please, I'll pay whatever you want just to get you to shut up. Right. But the fact of the matter is it's on the contract. You have to opt out of it. And most people do not opt out of it, though it does happen.
There's a 30-day you have 30 days after closing to be able to purchase.
That's kind of like a used car salesmanship tactic. Oh, I've got people looking at this. You'd better hurry up. The fact of the matter is, that's not actually true. I can write title insurance on anything. Even if you're not doing a loan, let's say you bought a property and you didn't get title insurance, you want it. Well, I go and run the title. Well, if I do the closing and you call me back, 40 days from now, it takes me 5 seconds to update that title.
Got it.
Okay. I just get on the computer and update it immediately. So, people say 30 days, but that's not a real thing.
Oh, that's an honest answer. Thank you, Chuck. I really appreciate that. A reminder, if you're thinking of selling your home, hey, you have a free no-obligation booklet available to you with hundreds of useful tips. If you want a copy, send me an email, bob@wesellouisville.com, and put selling tips in the subject line. Randy Rocky, Swan Financial. Brandon is asking in this email, what does it cost to refinance a loan? Now, we're talking to a lot of people who are thinking, okay, maybe I'll buy them when the rates come down, I can refinance. So in Brandon's case, he's saying he's got about $300,000 left on the loan. If he was going to refi when the rates start coming down, what would the costs be involved?
Great question. It could be as little as zero and as high as, 2% of the loan amount to the cost, or 3% of the loan amount. And what I mean by that is it just depends on what rate you want. So the higher the rate, the less closing cost you have.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, that's an interesting point. Hopefully that helps Brandon on this. Chuck Crosby, Crosby Law Offices, I'm going to give you some terms. I need you to give me a one or two line answer on this. Brooklyn is now in the market to buy a home, and in this email, she's saying she has done her homework. She discovered there are different types of deeds out there. So, for example, quit claim deed. Quit claim deed. What is that?
Whatever I've got, you've got now. It's a pig and a poke. If I own the property, great. If I don't own the property, well. But a quit claim deed just transfers whatever interest I have to you.
Okay. All right. Special warranty deed.
Special warranty deed says that I will say that there's no liens, encumbrances, there's no problem with the title from when I got it to when I give it to you.
A general warranty deed.
There's no problems with the title from Adam and Eve on forward.
What's the difference between a general and then the special warranty deed?
From Adam and Eve forward is general warranty.
Uh-huh.
Special warranty is me when I got it. I'm not telling you that the guys before me own the property at all. Okay. I'm just telling you, I'm giving you what I've got, and I guarantee the title from when I got it to when you get it. So if the guy before me had $1 million lien on it, that's not part of the warranty.
But when you do your looking into the property for any sort of liens on it, will you do a check to see and make sure that the chain is correct?
If I'm doing a title exam, we're going to go back and make sure that everything's clean.
Right.
The time that kind of overlaps is like when you have an estate. Frequently, an estate will request that you do a fiduciary clause and special warranty. That is to say that from when the property went into the hands of the estate until it goes out of the hands of the estate, they're only liable for problems in that time frame. Well, I'm going to run the title from before that. And as long as you get owner's title insurance, you're going to be fine.
Got it. Zillow has a new survey, the 12 biggest surprises about owning a home. I thought this was rather interesting. The amount of maintenance, these are the surprises. Some people say the amount of maintenance a home requires, especially if it's a single family house. Then the fact that the costs of the property taxes and homeowners insurance, hopefully you've got that from your lender prior to buying the house. Additionally, the degree to which you could benefit from the tax write-offs, that's something that you may or may not have realized. The degree of which neighbors can affect the quality of your life with noises or not, parties, for example. The amount of knowledge required to keep up a home, that may be something that you don't know. Also, the relatively stable monthly living costs, even when real estate market is volatile, whereas in a rental, you've got the dealing with a month or year-to-year increase. How external factors can affect your property, like a new road going in or a shopping center. Maintenance is a one-and-done. It's not a one-and-done thing. Some things require scheduled maintenance. Also, getting to know your home quirks and that you are liable for repairs at your condo, even if the problem existed before you moved in. It's true. The degree to which you become attached to your home and feel joy improving it is important, and just how much satisfaction you get from knowing that the home is yours. All right, final question here. Isabella is buying her home, wondering what should she look for when choosing a lender. Greg, give us one or two items, and then we'll go to Randy. What should she look for when choosing a lender?
I mean, besides specifics, I would always say you want to know somebody who knows a good person through your sphere, not necessarily a friend, but then do your due diligence and review 3, maybe 4 different lenders, compare and contrast. And with that and your sphere giving you the comfort, pick from there.
I'd also say someone who gets back to you very timely or answers their phone. Randy, what would you add to that as we wrap things up?
I think Google reviews and service and interest rates. I would look at all 3 of those things.
Okay, that's good. That's fair. By the way, just thank you for that, because if you haven't seen our Google reviews, the Sokoler team, go to LouisvilleGoogle.com or LouisvilleZillow.com and read out reviews. We are out of time. This went very fast, guys. Our thanks to Randy Rocky, who's the co-head guys over at Swan Financial. You can reach Randy at 645-0736. Also, Chuck Crosby, he's the owner of the Crosby Law Offices, where he does real estate closings, and you can pick the real estate closing attorney that you want. Also, he does wills, does a great job at that. He's entertaining, and there's always a lot of information, and it goes quickly. You can reach Chuck over at the Crosby Law Offices at 499-6360. My thanks to my son, Greg, who does our marketing and photography, so much more. He's stuck in. He's now heading out to shoot some pictures of one of our new listings that will go up in the next day or two. And then if you would like to get your home on the market, we'd love to be able to help you. You can reach me on my cell phone, 376-5483. That's my direct cell, and you can call me immediately after the show. Or you can go to BobSellsLouisville.com. We'll see you next Sunday on News Radio 840 WHAS.